Shalom Aleichem, everybody. In Parshas Bechukosai, we hear about the beautiful and bountiful brachos that Hashem will give us and that we will receive if we follow in His ways. But we also hear about the tochacha, the challenging, difficult description of what will happen if, God forbid, we do not follow in Hashem's ways. The tochacha is very painful to read and to hear, and many shuls have the minhag to read the tochacha in a lower voice and to read it rather quickly. Hearing bad news is hard and painful, and the quieter voice of the Baal Koreh and the quicker pace of the Baal Koreh reminds us, in addition, of course, to the words of the Tochacha themselves, just how strong the Tochacha is. The Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen, who died in 1933, writes about this minhag of the Baal Koreh in the Chafetz Chaim Sefer on the Torah. And the Chafetz Chaim says the following in his Perush at the beginning of the Tochacha in Perek Chavav Pasuk Tesvav. In short, the Chafetz Chaim is against the minhag of the Baal Koreh lowering his voice. He says the Baal Koreh being very quiet and swallowing some words when he reads the Tochacha is very similar to a person who is told that they should not travel on a certain road because that road is full of thorns and full of treacherous potholes and full of dangerous bandits. But this person decides not to listen to the warnings and goes on the road despite the obvious dangers. And when he starts on the road, he puts a blindfold on his eyes so he won't see the thorns and the potholes and the bandits. It's obviously a ridiculous thing to do. But the Chafetz Chaim says, that's what we do. Yes, it's irrational. But this, why? Because this person received great advice on how to avoid the dangers of the road, and he chose to ignore them. And that, says the Chafetz Chaim, is what it sounds like we're doing when we run through the Tochacha, when we barely hear the Tochacha. Hashem is telling us very clearly, avoid these roads, avoid these pitfalls, avoid going down that path. And it's our job to listen carefully so we know which roads to avoid and how to avoid them. It's true that listening to rebuke is hard, but it's for our own good. In many places in Sefer Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech implores us to accept rebuke, to embrace rebuke. For example, in Mishlei Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shlomo HaMelech says, Orach L'chaim Shomer Musar, one who heeds Musar is on the proper path. But the ozev tochachas mas'eh, someone who forsakes, someone who abandons tochacha, leads others astray. Or another example, in Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Shlomo HaMelech says, ben chacham musar av, a wise child seeks out his or her parents' discipline, but v'leitz lo shama gyara, but a scorner does not listen to rebuke. Or in Mishlei Perek Tesvav Pasuk Hey, evil yin'atz musar, a fool despises musar. Again, etc., etc., etc. There's many other examples, but the general theme is the same throughout. Musar and Tochacha are not bad, just the opposite. Words of rebuke are there to help us and nothing less. When we look at rebuke in that context, we can better explain a Gemara in Maseches Erchin Daf Tazayin Amud Beis. The Gemara there quotes Rabbi Tarfon, who says, I wonder if there is anyone in this generation who's able to offer rebuke properly. And why? Rabbi Tarfon says, if someone tries to correct someone else, the other person will say, first fix yourself, improve yourself, and then when you're perfect, then you can correct me. We can understand that response, and we can understand why that makes giving Musar and hearing Musar so difficult. But if we look at Musar like the Chafetz Chaim looks at Musar, we will avoid such a dangerous defense mechanism. Of course, rebuke has to be conveyed from a place of love, from a non-judgmental perspective. And when that happens, God willing, we will say thank you, not the opposite. Sometimes I like to think of giving Musar in the following way. If you and I met on the street, and you were headed to a very important interview or a special date with someone, and you had a piece of broccoli in your teeth. God willing, I like you so much that I would point out that you have broccoli in your teeth. It's not an insult. It's a favor. Don't go to the interview. Don't go to the date until you look in the mirror. and take out the broccoli from your teeth. How mean, God forbid, would I have to be to ignore the broccoli in your teeth? Hopefully we all like each other enough. We love each other enough that if we see a person, if we see a reason to correct someone else, we'll correct them politely, respectfully, non-judgmentally. But if both sides view that rebuke, and if both sides view that rebuke properly, it will be accepted as it was given, merely pointing out that they have broccoli in their teeth. Have an amazing day, everyone.